Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Who Knew It Without Matt Stewart. Please put your hands together for your host for this afternoon. It's Dave Warnocky.
Well, hello and welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. The podcast where the guests write the wrong answers. My name is, I'm not the titular Matt Stewart, that's what I'm trying to say. But I am the titillating guest host, Dave Warnocky. Yeah. Bit of wordplay there. How are you? Thank you so much for coming out. Now, what's happened is, unfortunately, Matt was so excited to come up, but he is a bit sick, so he couldn't make it here tonight. He's got a bit of a sniffle, poor man. No, he's generally quite ill, so he couldn't make it tonight, but he sent along a quiz and he's asked me to be the guest host for you tonight. Unfortunately, Matt's first pick of obscure 1990s cricketer Greg Blewett was unavailable for Who Knew It with Greg Blewett, so... We're stuck with Who Knew It with Dave Warnocky, which doesn't really have the same ring to it. So Matt suggested, he sent in some suggestions. He said I could call the show, What's It Gonna Be with Dave Warnocky? Anything like that? Or The Host Is an Absentee with Dave Warnocky. But I've been thinking about maybe I could take advantage of the situation and fully rebrand the podcast. And maybe like try some new concepts up here tonight. So I've been thinking about a few. How about Bonjournocky with Dave Warnocky? My French language podcast. Bon Bon. How about Is It Tourniquet with Dave Warnocky? Where we go around and each say our favourite Natalie and Brulia hit. Mine's Torn. What's yours? Another option could be Vince Warnocky or Dave Warnocky, where I play you an audio clip and you have to guess whether it's me or Wedding Crashers star Vince Vaughn. I'll give you a clue. It's always me. I haven't been able to get onto Vince yet. Or my personal favourite, Getting Warnocky with Dave Warnocky. No explanation required. Thank you so much. Now, we are going to stick with the regular format tonight. Matt's put the quiz together, so we are ready to go. Are you ready to meet today's guests? Well, let's find out who's behind Dornocky number one. That's the last one. Our first guest is a Piece of Wood winning... That's right, the Piece of Wood award-winning comedian and host of the Mid-Flight Brawl podcast. Please, put your hands together and welcome to the show, Luke Heggie's here. Oh, that's all good. Luke, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Stoked to have you on. Our second guest this week is an award-winning comedian and host of the Chris and Sarah Wear the Pants podcast. It's none other than Chris Ryan. Yeah. She won it all. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Thank you both so much for doing this. Do you have any idea what the hell we're about to do?
No.
Only from the moments that you spoke to us
yeah,
earlier.
Great. Yeah. Because I'm also not the regular host, so anything could happen here tonight. Let's find out. All right. The way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question, and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct. So the first question, I'll explain a little bit more as our contestants fire off their first answer tonight. The first question comes from listener Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbour, New York. Jim, are you in tonight? Jim, thank you so much. Jim has asked the question, what does Gone Goozler mean? Gone Goozler. I'll spell it for you. It's G-O-N-G-O-O-Z-L-E-R. Gone Goozler. So you have to come up with a fake definition for Gone Goozler, and then you're going to be texting it to our main man up the back, keeping track of everything, including the scores behind the decks. Would you please welcome my second banana? It's Jake Smith up the back. Hello, Jake.
Hello. A pleasure to be here.
Jake is our voice of God, keeping track of everything tonight. So, I'll explain a little bit more about how the rules work. So, you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. Boo. Historically, I would boo as well, but tonight, that kind of hurts. I put in two of my own fake answers, that's Matt has, for each question, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. It seems fair, but the probability actually favours me, the house. And the house always wins. Although if you've listened to the previous episodes, you'll know this is not necessarily the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. If you want to submit a question, you can sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, linked in the show notes. So we've got Eggie, you got your answer in?
Yeah, are we supposed to just, we don't discuss it though, do we?
No. So the question is, what does Gone Goozler mean? Now, Jake is putting in some answers up the back. Do either of you have a history of playing sort of the dictionary game or any of these Balderdash style games at home? What do you bring to the table tonight?
No.
I used to love Pictionary, but not
well.
Not dictionaries.
I'm very keen on Scrabble. Not anymore because obviously, but well, I've got a family. That's shit. But I can flog my kids at it. But I used to go to Scrabble tournaments from time to time.
Tournaments. Mm. How'd you go?
Badly, but right. Like you can't beat them. They are like 15 games a day. Retirees.
They've memorised all the two-letter words.
Oh, I know them, but like...
Oh, once wow. Okay, sorry.
But they know... Yeah, they know much more than that. They're a bit special. So...
Well, looking forward to the Scrabble round coming up later on. Maybe we'll get some picturing in there as well, Chris.
Yeah.
So, the question is, what does Gone Goozler mean? So, I'm going to read out all of our answers, and you have to tell me which one you think is the real one. Is it Gone Goozler? It's a croquet shot whereby you knock your opponent's ball out of the way. Is it someone who drinks a usually alcoholic beverage, heartily or copiously? Is it one of Shane Warne's lesser-known balls? Is it Gone Goozler? A person who harbours an interest in canals and canal life but does not actively participate...
Jesus Christ.
Or is a Gone Goozler the feeding tube used in the controversial process of making French delicacy foie gras? Foie gras. So, do you want me to repeat those answers quickly for you? You've got to tell me which one you think is the correct one? Or are you happy to lock one
in? I'm happy to go now, but if that's something you need to do for the people, I'm happy to. What are you saying about them? No, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the process of this podcast is. If you prefer for it to take a longer time, we can take all the time you want.
Oh, yeah, let's repeat everything, please.
From the top, yeah. I am not Matt Stewart. Hello. Gone Goozler, croquet shot, where you knock an opponent's ball out of the way. Someone who drinks a usually alcoholic beverage, heartily or copiously. One of Shane Warne's lesser-known balls. A person who harbours an interest in canals but does not actively participate, or the feeding tube used in the controversial process of making French delicacy foie gras. Chris, what's jumping out?
I'm going
to you?
For number one. I think it's the weird croquet shot.
Mm-hmm. Locking in croquet for Chris. Please, Jake.
I mean, they're all pretty grim, aren't they? Like, they're all possible but all shit as well. I mean, I know that's the idea. I get
the
it. But this
one.
Is. I'm going to go the canal one, I think, because I think yours is the drinking one, no?
I'm not answering that.
Oh, okay.
Until
I think
it's
hers
over.
Is the drinking one. But, I'll go the canals.
Okay. The answers are locked in. Let me reveal who wrote the answers. Someone who drinks a usually alcoholic beverage, heartily or copiously. That was written by the house/Jim from Sackett's Harbour.
Ah.
So that's
there you go.
That's not it.
That's not it.
So
don't worry about
you
that.
You got us. All right.
Great.
Are we going five? This hour, we're going to go number five to number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah,
excellent.
Absolutely.
All right.
Love it.
Again, hit us.
Neither of you were tempted by one of Shane Warne's lesser known balls. That was also written by The House.
I thought that was you.
Yeah. Really?
I thought you wrote that because it is pretty funny.
Well, that's both his balls are very well known from what I heard about him.
The feeding tube used in making foie gras, that was Chris Ryan.
Oh, I like the cut of your jib.
I thought I did a good job with that. Mm-hmm. That was. It sounded like it was
it's not
official.
Bad.
Absolutely.
It sounded official.
The croquet ball being knocked out of the way, that was written by Luke Heggie.
Thank you very much.
So a point there for that one. But that also means a second point because the real answer, which Heggie also locked in, is a person who harbours an interest in canals and canal 100%. Life and does not actively participate. Congratulations, two points.
Wow.
So I start strong.
Oh, my God.
But take it easy.
Now okay. I see what we're dealing with now.
Yeah.
You are a dork.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you?
But in disguise. I can still bash everyone here. Yes.
All right, we're going to move on to question number two, and I'll tell you a bit more about Gongoozlers while the next answers are coming in. Question two is, this one comes from Caitlin from Brisbane. Caitlin, are you actually here? All right, we're going to move on to question number three. No, this one is from Caitlin. Which one of these is a real species of bird? So you've got to come up with a fake species of bird. Text it through to Jake.
Oh, hang on. We come up with the name of one.
Yeah, just the name of a species of bird.
Fuck. All right.
And while you're texting that in, I'll tell you a bit more about Gongoozlers, Gongoozling. Jim writes, Gongoozling, much like train spotting, is a hobby that can extend to all aspects of canals. The word may have arisen from words in Lincolnshire dialect, gawn and goose, both meaning to stare or gape. There you go. And now I'm seeing that I have to say the word canal so often. I can understand why Matt is pretended to be sick and not be here tonight, because he historically can't pronounce the word canal. He once pronounced it as canal. And he was serious. He read it out as canal. So that's why I'm here tonight. Taking a bullet for Matt.
That says a bit about him, doesn't it? He likes canal.
He likes canal. Wow, straight up the Gongoozler. All right. How we got their answers, because I have a bit more about Gongoozling. We don't need to know, it's fine.
Oh, this will be over real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole game. We're flying.
Yeah, you're flying. You're flying through it. The answers are being written in by Jake as we speak. The question, remember, is which one of these is a real species of bird? Okay. Now, they're all in. First one is the furrowed bugler. The furrowed bugler. Could also be pronounced furrowed bugler. That's up to you. Next option is white-titted booby. The rare double there. Our third option is the great tit. The great tit? Option number four.
That's yours, isn't it? So was you.
Chris is loving this one. Option number four. How's this one? Jizz sparrow. Sparrow? Or is it number five? Fifth option is slag whip. And remember, one of these is a real bird. Is it the furrowed bugler, the white-titted booby, the great tit, the jizz sparrow, or slag whip? Now, Heggie, I think you get to lock in your answer first this time.
I'm going
to
go white-titted booby.
White-titted booby.
Yep.
Why is that jumping out to you?
Well, there's two answers with tits in there, and a great tit sounds a little less imaginative.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm having it.
White-titted booby locked in. Chris, what do you think?
I'm going to go for the great tit. Because I think it's real.
I think you might be right. There's definitely one of those two.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that and thinking it was funny before. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, answers are locked in. Let's find out who's right. Slag whip.
No!
That was written by... I don't know. No, that was written by Luke Heggie, the slag whip. The Jizz Sparrow. That was from the house slash Caitlin. Caitlin, is that why you're not here tonight? The Furrowed Bugler. That was also written by the house, meaning the real answer is one of the tits or boobies.
Ooh.
The White Titted Booby. That was written by Chris.
Fuck.
So a point for Chris there. And also a second point because the real answer is the Great Tit.
Yes.
Four points.
All right.
There is some benefits to being a woman after all. Mm. No, that's irrelevant. It makes no sense even. It's not logical. But we're even.
Yeah, let's have a quick score check, right. Jake.
Thanks now, to tits.
Yeah, all right.
Score check, it is neck and neck with Chris on two and Heggie on two.
Amazing.
Great. Mm. And the house, how many are we on?
Fuck all.
Oh. Damn. Don't worry. I'll be coming back. All right. Question number three, I'm going to tell you a bit more about the great tits, the bird, coming up after this question. But the question is the next one, written by Paul McNally from Waterford in Ireland. And Paul's question is, the musician Thundercats. Thundercats has strange and interesting names for his pets. But what was his first pet cat called? So Thundercats is the name of the musician. He's got weird names for his pets. The question is, what was his first pet cat called? Got to come up with a name for this cat.
Oh, fucking hell. Who's Thundercat?
Thundercat.
Is he a popular... Is he one of those ones I ask my children, is the radio broken?
Thundercat. Anyone familiar with the great work of Thundercat? All right.
Well, you must know cat's names then.
You're going to crowdsource your answer.
Is this for points? I thought this is just filling in.
Oh, no, this is your next question.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. Sorry. Fuck. Sorry. I thought it was just filler between a real question.
You think I was doing like a side quiz?
Fuck, all right, hang on. No, I thought you were doing crowd work.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to tell you a bit more about the great tit here. According to Caitlin, the largest UK tit it is. Green and yellow with a striking glossy black head with white cheeks and a distinctive two-syllable song. It is a woodland bird which is readily adapted to man-made habitats to become a familiar garden visitor. It can be quite aggressive at a bird table. I don't know what that is. Fighting off smaller tits. Thank you to Caitlin. Oh, actually, I've got a picture of it here if everyone wants to have a look. There you go. There's the so-called great tit. You have a look at... Look at that tit.
Great tit.
Great tit. Great tit. All right, looks like the answers are in. The musician Thundercat, a strange and interesting name for his pets. What was his first pet cat called? Was it Sifelsic? Sifelsic, short for cat I found and liked so I kept. Sifelsic, spelled C-I-F-A-L-S-I-K. Is it... Boogie Poo. Boogie Poo. Is it Lightning? Lightning the cat?
Lightning, Lightning the cat, or just Lightning?
Just Lightning.
Right.
Sorry, I did put a bit of my own spin on it there.
Okay. No.
Sorry about that. Yeah. They're all cats, though.
Yeah, I know.
If you like, I can go back and say Boogie Poo is the
dickhead
cat.
Dickhead names. And such as the cat.
Yep. You're right. No, it is just Lightning. Option four is Stefan the hairdresser. Beautiful. Or final option, Turbotron over 9,000 baby Jesus Sally Hot Carl. I'll repeat that once. Turbotron over 9,000 baby Jesus Sally Hot Carl. So these are the options. Is it Cephalsic, cat I found and like so I kept, Boogie Poo, Stefan the hairdresser, Lightning, or Turbotron over 9,000 baby Jesus Sally Hot Carl? Chris, do you have any pets?
No, not presently. Okay. I did have a cat that I called Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the colouring. I think it's Sifelsic, whatever it is.
Sifelsic, the cat I found and liked, so I kept.
Mm.
Great, fantastic.
Very locked impossible. In for Chris. Who sent this in? Sorry.
This one has come to us.
He's going to tell me the answer. Don't worry about it.
It actually doesn't say. Matt has not told me who has written this. No, sorry, it's Paul McNally. Sorry, from Waterford in Ireland, if that helps. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, it does help.
All right.
You've gone for the
Felsenik, yeah, whatever. Okay.
I'll go for Turbotron, the whatever.
Okay. Turbotron, yeah. Over 9,000 baby Jesus, Sally Hot Carl.
Yes.
Okay, locked in. Let's find out who's right and who's wrong.
Hey.
What was the name of Thundercat's first pet cat? Stefan the Hairdresser, which I loved. That was written by The House.
Oh. We passed the Stefan today.
I thought you wrote that one.
I thought you wrote it because you mentioned Stefan.
I thought you wrote it because I pointed out the
Stefan. Who the fuck says Stefan?
Yeah, no, it's Stefan. It's Stefan.
Stefan.
He's from Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. This is Stefan, is it?
Stefan.
Yeah, my cousin used to work at Stefan.
Stefan. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. Have I offended the whole
People
room?
People won't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
All right, well, Stefan the Hairdresser was written by The House. Boogie Poo. That was Luke Heggie.
Yeah. What?
I thought maybe. Yeah. If not Stefan, that was you. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Well, lightning. That was Chris.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't be that because it's supposed to be. It is. I knew it would be one of our two. And better fucking be mine.
Well, one of you is correct. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that Sefelsik was written by The House and Paul.
Yes.
Meaning the correct answer is Turbotron, over 9,000, Baby Jesus, Sally Hot Carl.
Yes.
Well done, Luke Heggie, got it.
That's mad.
Is Thunderclap American?
Thunderclap.
What's his name? Thunder what?
Cat.
Thundercat. Is he American?
Because
they love that shit.
Yes, from he's a bass player, singer, producer and songwriter from Los Angeles.
Here we go. Yep. They love that stuff. Like they'll change their names to mad stuff. There's a basketball player who calls himself Meta World Peace now.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That's yeah, that's
so
they love
good.
That shit.
That's so good. I believe The House got a point that time. Fantastic. So
you're in the lead,
well
Peggy.
Done.
We're off. We're going to tell you a bit more about Super Baby Jesus Hot Carl after this. But the next question is question four. This one is from Emmy White from Albuquerque in New Mexico. And this one is, what wild headline ran in Newsweek on the 31st of July, 2019. So you have to come up with a fake headline here. And it's a wild headline and it ran in Newsweek on the 31st of July, 2019.
I take it the date's very relevant the way you're saying that. Or is it?
No, it doesn't. Not necessarily
okay.
relevant.
Right.
But, you know,
okay.
about that time, that
yeah.
time in history. While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about Thundercat and his pets. According to Paul, Thundercat wrote two songs about his cat called Tron Song and a fan's mail, in brackets, Tron Song Suite 2. The first, and it's poetry, let me tell you. The first two lines of a fan's mail is, meow, 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 I wish I had nine lives. He also had another cat called Asuka Ophelia Hinata Hyuga 100. Umar Johnson loves Steen Supreme. Paul writes, kooky songs aside, Thundercat is an excellent songwriter and virtuoso bassist. Can highly recommend his music. Give his song Funny Thing a listen. It's very good indeed. All right, while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back. All right, question four was, what wild headline ran in Newsweek on the 31st of July, 2019? Is it sweat, regret, upset, and repet? Frustrated local on morning sun steps in neighbor's doggy-do again. And again, is it capitalized? Or is it Arizona man shocked to find out his mother's donated body was strapped to a chair and detonated in US military blast testing?
Sweet.
Is it man arrested for transporting his bull called Howdy Doody in his car on Nebraska Highway? I have not read through this before. I've read these out. This is a bit of fun. Cavalcade of horses break out of Union Parade cause traffic chaos? Or is it who is Miss Jackson's baby daddy this time? Participate in our poll for a chance to win. And remember, one of these is a real headline. From 2019, is it sweat, regret, upset and repet? Frustrated local on morning run steps in neighbour's doggy do again. Arizona man shocked to find out his mother's donated body was strapped to a chair and detonated in US military blast testing. Man arrested for transporting his bull called Howdy Doody in his car on Nebraska Highway. Cavalcade of horses break out of Union Parade, cause traffic chaos. Or who is Miss Jackson's baby daddy this time? Participate in our poll for a chance to win. Chris, I think we're going with you first this time, if I'm correct.
I think I'm going to go with the who is the baby daddy one.
Who is Miss Jackson's baby daddy?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Lock that in.
What was the first one again? I think I'm going to go with that.
Sweat, regret, upset and repet.
I'll go the donkey vote on that. Fuck, that better not be you. It's good. Yeah, I'll go
with
that.
With the first
I'll
one?
Go with the stepping in the dog shit, yeah.
Okay. I can reveal.
It's tough though, tough.
Can reveal that man arrested for transporting his bull called Howdy Doody in his car on Nebraska Highway, that's Luke Heggie's work.
Yeah. That was last week. That was... couldn't think of a headline on the spot. That was last week's headline. Someone saw that, yeah? Sick. See the video? So good.
And it was called Howdy Doody?
His bull's called Howdy Doody, yeah.
Fuck.
Huge. Like a huge bull. In a sedan. Fucking unbelievable. Like the roof off, convertible, just cow shit all down the back of it, and like a gate on the side instead of two doors. And he's just standing there talking to the cop, going, yeah, it's my bull. And they didn't arrest him. They sent him home or something. Escorted him home. Pretty good.
Incredible. Next one was sweat, regret, upset and repet. Frustrated man steps and doggy do again. That was from The House and Emmy wrote that one. So a point for The House there. Cavalcade of horses break out of Union Parade course. Traffic chaos. That was Chris Ryan.
Oh, you're in here.
We've got two options left. Who is Miss Jackson's baby daddy this time? That was also The House.
Yeah.
Another point of The House. Meaning the real answer is Arizona man shocked to find out his mother's donated body was strapped to a chair and detonated in US military blast testing. Whoa. Wow.
I thought it was too long
even
for a headline.
I'd do that. Mm. Oh, that's amazing. Do you reckon pot shots from a distance or like a...
How do you find out?
Closest to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like how do you find that
you find,
out?
You find out by opening Newsweek.
Yeah.
Seeing a photo of your exploded mum.
I see one of your nan's limbs fly past your window if you're local. I don't know. It's weird. All right.
Well, a couple of points there at The House. Jake, we have a quick score check. I think there's been a bit of movement.
Absolutely. So, Dave, the House gets an additional point because no one gets the correct one, right?
Oh, no.
We never see
No,
that.
Just two.
Oh, I'm getting a bit trigger happy here. Hold on. Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
Getting so into it. The magic of live podcasting. All right, so we've got a Heggie is on. It truly is whimsical. So Heggie is on three. Chris Ryan is on two. And The House is now on three.
Oh, give him a round of applause. Yeah. All right. It's anyone's game here. It is anyone's game. Question number five.
Thanks,
Logan man. Husky from Brisbane sent in this question. Logan, are you in? Yep. Yeah. A round of applause. I hope I'm not going to butcher your question now. Here we go. Question five is, before changing their name to Silverchair, the Newcastle band had various names including The Innocent Criminals, the George Costanza Trio, and what other name? What other name? So before they were Silverchair, they were The Innocent Criminals, the George Costanza Trio, and what other name? And while you're writing your answers, here is the article written by Ewan Palmer about the dead body. It says, the Arizona Body Donation Center, where FBI agents discovered a woman's head sewn onto a male body like Frankenstein, also sold an elderly woman's corpse to the US Army to be blown up. I should not be laughing. To be blown up in a blast testing experiment. Oh my God. Jim Stopher donated his mother's body to Biological Resource Center in Arizona in 2013 after she died age 74. He was thinking she was going to go to medical science. Instead, the body was sold off to the US Army so it could be used as part of an experiment to measure damage caused by roadside bombs. Jim Stopher told the ABC News Network she was then supposedly strapped in a chair on some sort of apparatus. I'm laughing because I should not be laughing. And a detonation took place underneath her to basically kind of get an idea of what the human body goes through when a vehicle is hit by an IED. Oh my God. This is such a grim fact. Oh my God. There was actually wording on this paperwork about performing this stuff, he added. Performing these medical tests that may involve explosions. And we said no. We checked the no box on all that. They can't even say he wasn't aware of the option. Oh my God. At least 20 bodies were donated for blast experiments without family's consent. The donation center is no longer operating. So there you go. Oh my gosh. That is a grim fact. Okay, so the answers are in for question number 5. Before changing their name to Silverchair, the Newcastle band had various names, including the Innocent Criminals, the George Costanza Trio, and what other name? Was it A, or option 1, the Bedazzlers? The Bedazzlers. Short Elvis. Short Elvis. The League of Extraordinary Rock and Roll Pals. The Burning Room. The Burning Room, or the Toyota Corolla Ring Stones. The Toyota Corolla Ring Stones. So the options are the Bedazzlers, Short Elvis, the League of Extraordinary Rock and Roll Pals, Toyota Corolla Ring Stones, or the Burning Room. They're the options. Heggy, what's jumping out to you?
Oh, fuck. Just because of the 90s time, it's a bit... It's hard to... I don't know. There's a couple that could be that time. A couple very Chris Ryan-ish.
Were you a Silverchair fan?
I'd sideswipe them, but not particularly, no. I mean, fine, yeah.
Yeah, they're all right.
Diorama was good. Anyone got that? Fucking good album, actually.
So, jumping out to you.
Oh, God. Fuck out the Burning... Burning what? Something.
The Burning Room.
I'll take the Burning Room.
The Burning Room? Yeah. Locked in for Luke Heggie? Poof. Chris Ryan, how about you? What's your Silverchair history?
I don't mind. I think it was Frog Stomp, that album.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I liked their early stuff. And I liked that they were young men managed by their mothers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was kind of cute. They're fucking hard ones because, I mean, the Toyota Corolla one just screams to me Luke Heggie. Short Elvis also kind of screams to me of Luke Heggie. I'm trying to read your face. What was the other one?
The Bedazzlers or the League of Extraordinary Rock and Roll Pals.
Okay, I'll go for Short Elvis.
You're locking in Short Elvis. Okay, we've got the
Burning
I'm
regretting
room.
My choice now.
Would you like to change?
No. It's all right. It's too late.
Too late, okay.
I'll stay with the rules, yeah.
The Burning Room. Short Elvis. I can reveal that the League of Extraordinary Rock and Roll Pals was written by The House. Big round of applause. Fantastic stuff. The Bedazzlers. Luke Heggie wrote that.
Oh, yeah. Is that right?
Mm.
Okay.
Do you have a bedazzler?
No, but I know what they
go
are.
Go well on this. Rhinestone collar.
The Burning Room, which Luke Heggie locked in.
Fuck.
That's Chris Ryan.
Ah, rubbish.
Fantastic work.
Well done.
That's the name of my son's first band in high school.
Of course
really.
It was.
It's a good name.
Believable,
eh?
Yeah. Yeah, well done.
Are they still around?
He's got a new one called the Wolf Cuts.
The Wolf Cuts.
Mm. I know.
They're badass names.
They're good they're names. Good names. Mm. Need to put out some music.
well, they've done the hard part.
They will.
I can reveal that the Toyota Corolla Ring Stones is also by the house. Fantastic
you
name.
Really?
Meaning the correct answer is Short Elvis.
No way.
Congratulations.
Neck and neck.
Right. So 4 points again.
Neck and neck. Oh.
No, you're in.
I'm in here.
You're winning.
Oh,
you
no.
won.
So 2 points there to Chris Ryan, I believe, for the Burning Room and to Short Elvis.
Oh, true.
Which I'll tell you a bit more about after this. After we check in with the scores, Jake, how are we looking?
So Chris got two in that one, so that means that Heggie is on three. Chris is now on four, and the house is on three.
Ooh.
Well, how the tables
close.
Have turned.
It's anyone's game here. The next question, question number six. Our second last question is from Amanda Connell from Brisbane. Amanda, are you in? Yeah! Ooh. Round of applause for Amanda. Thank you so much for your great question. Your great question is, what is Santino, a chimpanzee at Sweden's Furuvik Zoo, known for? So Santino is a chimp at Sweden's Furuvik Zoo. What is Santino known for? Santino does something. While you're writing those answers, let me tell you a bit more about Silverchair. After winning a competition, they changed their name to Silverchair. In a 1994 interview with Melbourne magazine Buzz, the band claimed their name derived from a radio request for Sliver by Nirvana and Berlin Chair by UMI being mixed up as Silver Chair. It was later revealed that they were named for the C.S. Lewis penned novel The Silver Chair from the Chronicles of Narnia. Daniel Johns later said of the fake story, "We can't just say it's the name of a book and that we were looking for a name and thought that sounded good, so we thought we'd come up with a story." There you go. Apparently, the origin of the band started when founding members Ben Gillies and Daniel Johns met at primary school in the Newcastle suburb of Merriweather when they were 11 or 12. The first iteration of the band had Johns and Gillies rapping over an electronic keyboard's demo button. And their first name was The Silly Men. Not bad. Not bad.
Good.
Right, the answers, I believe... coming in as we speak, and let's remember the question from Amanda is, what is Santino, a chimpanzee at Sweden's Furuvik Zoo, known for? These are your options. Speed eating his entire food allocation for the day in record time. His current record is 12.6 seconds. So option two is throwing feces at patrons. Option three is performing elaborate pole dances, which are... surprisingly erotic. Option four is he famous for attacking zoo visitors in well-planned attacks with rocks and other projectiles he creates in his enclosure? Or final option is he famous for whistling Living on a Prayer? Oh, Heggie, I think you're going first.
All right, sorry.
Do you need the option? So he's famous
yeah,
for...
Yeah, just quick, you can do the short
speed eating.
Yep.
Throwing feces at patrons.
Hmm.
Elaborate pole dances that are surprisingly erotic. Attacking zoo visitors with well-planned attacks. Or whistling, Living on a Prayer.
Oh, they're all pretty grim, aren't they? Fuck, I'm going to pick yours again, I reckon. This will be... I'll go to speed eating. That's between that and one other. But I'll go speed eating.
Speed eating is locked in for Luke Heggie.
Yeah.
Chris?
I think making like weapons and throwing them at people.
So the well-planned...
attack.
Well-planned
attack.
Projectile attacks. Okay. The answers are locked in. I can reveal that performing elaborate pole dances, which is surprisingly erotic... That comes from the mind of Amanda.
Yes.
Fantastic. That's great stuff. Throwing feces at patrons. That is Chris Ryan.
Mm.
It was kind of obvious, I thought.
Yeah. They love that.
Whistling, Living on a Prayer. That's Luke Heggie.
Mm.
speed eating.
Fuck.
For the current record of 12.6 seconds, that is Amanda in the house again.
Ah.
So a point there for Amanda in the house. And a point to Chris Ryan, because the right answer is attacking zoo visitors with well-planned attacks with rocks and other projectiles that he creates in his enclosure. Congratulations. So before we head to our final question, what are the scores looking like, Jake?
I'll tell you what, I'm on the edge of my seat up here. All right, so we got Luke Heggie. Is it? Luke Heggie is on 3.
At most.
And then Chris Ryan storming ahead on 5.
Ooh.
And then we've got the house on a humble 4.
Ooh. Well, let me tell you, it's anyone's game because the final question is worth triple points.
Oh.
Every week it comes down to the final question, triple points.
Turned up now.
Yeah. You just wander up.
Yeah. Been here the whole time. Thank you.
So triple points up for grabs. You could get...
All right.
You could, anyone honestly can win it from here. The final question comes from Murray Somerville, also from Brisbane. Murray, are you in?
No.
No? Now, I'd love to meet Murray. He's a great supporter of all the podcasts that we host on the Do Go On Network. And he actually
is
the
obviously
person...
not.
Yeah. But sometimes he's a little bit humble, and I'm thinking that, Murray, there's a possibility that you are here and just not saying you are. He also is the responsible drawer, a very fantastic artist, for the artwork from Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. So thank you so much to Murray, who's given us this question. And it's we always finish with a movie question.
Yeah.
We're looking for a plot for a movie. It's the kind of thing you'd see like on the IMDb summary. It might be it's usually the longest answer, 2, 3, 4 sentences, it's a short paragraph. The question is, what is the plot of the 1961 movie Change of Mind? Change of Mind.
So a slightly longer answer you're looking for here.
Yeah, yeah. So like a short paragraph this time, yeah.
Okay.
To describe, yeah, the thing that you'd you'd see on the back of a DVD box set in the back back in the day, or on IMDb these days. Change of Mind. It came out in 1961. But what is a short synopsis for that movie? And while your answers are being written, here's some more information about Santino, that chimp. According to Grunge, like many people, some chimps don't appreciate being stared at. Take Santino, for example. This ultra-aggressive ape lives in Sweden's Furuvik Zoo, and whenever guests show up at his exhibit, he begins hurling rocks in their direction. Fortunately, the crowds are protected by a 5-foot-tall fence, a 30-foot gap, and a watery moat. Still, Santino is the primate version of Randy Johnson, and he occasionally wings a guest or two. But his rock-throwing skills aren't what makes Santino super crazy. Instead, it's his unsettling ability to plan ahead. In 2009... researchers revealed that Santino woke up each morning to fish stones out of the moat surrounding his enclosure. He would then build little rock piles near the water and wait for guests to arrive. Then at around 11 a.m. each day, he'd grab the stockpiled stones and start chunking them at the nearby crowd. Yes, it says chunking them. While guests were traumatized and occasionally bruised by Santino's aggression, researchers were shocked at his ability to map out attacks in advance. They also noted that Santino was trying to upgrade his weaponry by making throwing discs out of concrete in his enclosure. Hoping Santino would chill out a bit, zookeepers castrated the chimp. But that doesn't seem to have stopped him. If anything, he's now even angrier. In 2012, researchers noticed that Santino was now hiding his rocks under logs and piles of hay, hoping to fool guests into dropping their guard before launching a sneak attack. Incredible. How did you come across Santino, Amanda?
I used to work with primates.
You used to work with primates?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What were you doing with primates?
I did a year of PhD in evolutionary psychology.
A year of PhD in evolutionary psychology. I'm just repeating it for people at home. Sorry, I'm not being like, are you serious? Are you saying, oh, that's fantastic. And did you ever work with any violent chimps?
I did, actually.
You actually did?
Yeah. One of the ones up in Rockhampton used to be known for trying to drag peacocks through the roof.
Oh, wow. So for the people at home, one of them in Rockhampton used to be known for dragging peacocks through the roof of the enclosure and, like, what, pulling them through the fence.
Wait for them to land on the roof. Oh. And then it's scurry up the wall, grab them, and just, yeah.
And just pull them in, and they're just... Chimps are evil, man.
They are.
They are absolutely evil. I can reveal the guests' answers are in. Here it is. What is the plot of the 1961 movie Change of Mind? Is it And remember, these are the longest ones. Emily firmly believes in her 5-year plan for her life and her career. But fate has something else in store for her. After a chance encounter with a free-spirited artist named Ethan, the worlds collide in the most unpredictable ways. Get ready for a roller coaster ride of laughter, love and self-discovery as Emily and Ethan embark on a journey that challenges their perceptions and leads them to the most surprising change of mind. Is it option 2? A woman scorned, a man on the run. A chance meeting changes the course of their lives forever. Could it be the love story of their lives? Or will she have a change of mind? If they all end with that, I'll be so stoked. Is it option 3? David, a dying white man, and the town... I am reading what it says. Fucking hell.
Is this you?
What a way to find out.
Yeah.
David, a dying white man, and the town's district attorney has his brain transplanted into a black man's body. Challenging both his and his wife's lives as they encounter racial prejudice firsthand. Now a black man, David must legally defend a racist sheriff accused of murder. Fuck. While investigating, David discovers evidence that will free the racist sheriff. What will David do? Free the sheriff to continue his abuse, or ignore the truth to save the town from the racist lawman? That's option 3.
Or will he have
a change of mind? Option 4. It's the 1960s, and high school senior Chuck Daniels has it all. The looks, the brains, and the popular crowd at his feet. But when an accident at football training leaves him with amnesia, Max wakes up believing he's an awkward, overlooked nerd. As Max embarks on a hilarious and heartwarming journey to rediscover himself, he befriends a quirky group of misfits who accept him for who he is now. But as his memory starts to return, he is torn between his former popular self and his new found nerd friends. Will Chuck ditch the nerds and go back to his old ways, or will he learn that sometimes losing yourself is the only way to find your true self? AKA, a change of mind. Well, final option, is it? A man is having difficulty with his... what? With his disobedient wife. He hatches a plot to be rid of her forever, but then finds a way to make their lives work together. Sorry, let me say that without all that. But then finds a way to make their lives together work. Or does he? Or does he have a change of mind? Yeah. So I'll do a quick recap because they're quite long here. But
that's all right.
Option 1. Emily believes in her 5-year plan for her life and career, but Faith has something different. So she meets an artist named Ethan. Their worlds collide in unpredictable ways.
Yeah.
It's option 2. Woman scorn, man on the run. Another chance meeting here that changes their lives forever. Could it be the love story, or will she have a change of mind? Is it David, a dying white man whose brain is transplanted into a black man? Then he has to decide, can he defend a racist sheriff?
Yeah.
Is it option 4? Chuck Daniels has it all. Looks, brains, popular crowd. But then an accident at football leaves him thinking that he's an awkward, overlooked nerd, makes friends with the nerds, but then starts to remember his old life. Or is it a man is having difficulty with his disobedient wife? Hatches a plot to be rid of her forever. But then he thinks, can I make it work? Or does he?
I have a change.
Who's going first?
Am I going first?
I believe you're going first.
Sucks going first, actually. I reckon it's that weird last one.
The weird last one?
Mm.
Or does he?
Yeah.
Okay, does he? So you're locking that in? Okay. Luke, what are you going for?
Man, I'm torn here.
And you can talk us through the board now.
Well, I know Chris loves names, Ethan and Emily, that sort of thing. That's exactly the sort of thing Christine Ryan would write. Or also Chuck and nerds. She loves nerds. And nerd redemption stories and shit like that. The rest of us are flushing their heads. She loves them.
Chris, is this true?
You said that.
I'm going to go with the white man turned into a black man. I don't know. I just think it's... I don't know. They're all pretty wrong.
You're telling me you wouldn't want to watch any of these
It's
movies?
1960. I'd watch them all. But yes, yes. It's 1960s. I think that's a To Sir With Love era of racial tension. You know, Atticus Finch, but, you know,
yep.
Off the back of that. Let's go.
Okay. Answers are locked in. It's anyone's game, as we said before. Triple points on the line. Emily believes in her 5-year plan for her life and career. Then she meets an artist named Ethan. That is from The House and Murray.
Sick.
It's the 1960s, and high school senior Chuck Daniels has it all, the looks, the brains, and the popular crowd at his feet. That one is also from The House and Murray.
One of us is in here.
One of us is in here. Okay, here we go. A woman scorned, a man on the run. Could it be the love story of their lives? That is the poetic work of Chris Ryan.
Mm.
Leaving two options.
No.
A man having difficulty with his disobedient wife. Those are the words of Luke Heggie. So, 3 points.
It's not my autobiography, by the way. Yeah, it's fine.
Nine.
And David, a dying white man who has his brain transplanted into a black man's body. That is the real movie.
Oh.
3 more points yes. For Luke Heggie.
Classic come from behind victory.
Wow.
Brisbane underdog.
So while Jake is quickly tabulating the scores, I can tell you IMDb gives this movie 6.2 out of 10, so not bad. Matt couldn't find any decent reviews to read, but he has found some of their taglines. These are the taglines. One really long one. He was a white man. They transplanted his brain into a black body. Then he went home to the woman he loved. That's it.
Surprise. Like, surprised her or what?
That's the tagline. Another one is black body, white brain. This is crazy. And finally, a change of living, a change of loving.
Oh, there we go. A change of heart.
These
a
all, but Matt couldn't find much else about that. Let's have a final score check from bottom to top, please, if you don't mind, Jake. Who came third, second, and first here tonight?
All right, it's been a real rollercoaster here. So we got the house is on 4.
4 points
bronze
for the house.
Bronze medal.
No one wants to cut the house, I get it. Honestly, I get it.
Second place, we have Chris Ryan on 5.
Round of applause for Chris Ryan.
Oh. And in first place, we have the tipper out himself, Luke Heggie, on 9 points.
Congratulations.
That's a flogging in the end.
Now, Chris and Luke, where can people find you before we sign off here tonight?
Well, funny you should ask that.
Yes.
About 2 hours from now, we'll be on this very
right
stage.
Here. But at 10 o'clock, we have a show that's not sold out. The 8:30 sold out, but we've got a 10 o'clock show doing all new material.
Yep. Go watch some fireworks and listen to the B105 simulcast. Down at the river, get out your dolphin torch, shine around a bit, and get back here for 10 o'clock with your fresh Stefan haircuts.
Yeah. And for the people not immediately in the room but listening at home, you both have fantastic podcasts we can tell them about.
Oh, yeah. I've got a new one called Chris and Sarah Wear the Pants, where we look at old women's magazines and see if anything's changed.
Love it.
A lot of disobedient wives stuff in there, isn't it? And my podcast is called Mid-Flight Brawl. It's about plane fights. New one each week.
two different concepts there. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming out. I know it's been a bit different. Unfortunately, Matt couldn't be here. He was so thankful that you came out, bought tickets and supported the show. We're also supposed to be doing a split stand-up show here today. And Matt didn't turn up, so I'm now doing it all on my own. So if you want to come along at, I think it's 7, Jake, am I on at
7:15.
So I've pivoted. Instead of him and I doing brand new material, I'm just going to do my show from the Melbourne Comedy Festival this year, which I never did up here. So in theory, it should be better. In theory. So come along to that. Oh, and I'm doing Book Cheat tomorrow, live here. So, and I believe with Chris and Luke as well. It's going to be a great afternoon. Thank you so much for coming out. Matt says he is quite desperate. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends. If you think you know anyone, enjoy it. Cheers for tuning into Matt Stewart. Cheers for tuning into Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. I need to get this right. Cheers for tuning into Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. And now that you're Hornicky, I've been Dave Hornicky. Goodbye. Thanks so much.
I met Stefan.
Did you?
Yeah.
Amazing hair.
Short. Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck we're talking about. This is a local celebrity.
Thing.
Local celebrity, Stefan.
Gold Coast.
Well, he got into speedboats. Like, he's a fucking big. So in the 80s, he was huge, man. He, you know, Sky Needle, that's his. He moved that over to his office from Expo. Went, I'm having that. And that was his new office. He built a massive fortune just off cutting hair, which I was always sus of. And he had this big boat that he'd flip. He couldn't race it very well. He'd flip it all the fucking time. Big pink boat. Those ones that are just so fast.
Yeah.
Those ones. And he'd fuck off and I reckon come back with a hole full of gear because you're not you're not building millions off cutting hair. But he did have a lot of products.
Did you ever
and
go
shit.
To Stefan the hairdresser's place?
No, I looked into it recently. Actually, I think I was going to get a perm for a show up here. But then, as it suggests, quite permanent.
It was an extraordinary experience.
Like $400 or something. I said, no, I won't be doing that.
Mm.
But
has anyone been to Stefan before? Oh my goodness, what's it like? How much did it cost?
Great ad campaign, though. They used to have a great ad campaign. People walk past and go, Stefan, just in the
had
street.
Had a rainbow. Right, he expanded. I had it at the Gold Coast. My cousin used to cut hair there. I used to go in.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have a restaurant on the mall here called JoJo's. Rubbish. You can tell that because it had an escalator from the street. You know, escalators are slightly outside. There's always something sus with that.
Yeah.
They don't fucking work after a while. The rain gets them. I'd never go anywhere where there's an escalator. To my table. To my table.
To your table.
Not to individual tables, but like top of the escalator.
There's one table. Terrible business model. Terrible. Were you a silver chair fan?
I'd sideswipe them, but not particularly, no. I mean, fine, yeah.
Yeah, they're all right.
Diorama was good. Anyone got that? Fucking good album, actually.
Big Diorama fans.
I was a fan.
Yeah.
And then Daniel John started turning up at gigs. Do you know this in Sydney? You ever see him? Started turning up at this comedy gig and heckling. It's fucking weird. It was
Daniel Johnson Silverchair heckles comedians.
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, he'd be sitting in this one particular gig. I think his mate owned the bar. He'd just sit in the dark heckling. Just having a bottle of wine and going nuts.
Did you ever have the honour of being heckled by Daniel Johns?
No. I was too good.
I'd love to. Yeah.
No. I
wasn't. He was terrified.
No, he didn't.
I'd love to know.
He's out smoking when I was on.
Right. Was there kind of? Can you think of any heckles that Daniel Johns would deliver?
I was just like, this is shit. Stuff. Just not. Yeah, not.
It's a classic.
nothing. You know, nothing to write home about.
Well, when Silverchair reformed, we know what to do.
Yeah.
This is shit. Heard it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, these are the hits. Option two. Is he famous for throwing feces at patrons? Whoa! This podcast is taking off.
What was that?
That was some kind of plane, yeah?
Oh, yeah. River Fire.
River Fire. I was thinking that was... I thought it was like Stefan taking off on his boat. Flipping. So that was an actual jet. I'm not sure if the mics picked it up at home, but that was...
I thought the roof was collapsing.
Yeah. I have shat myself. Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.